following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 304. It's December. It's December. It's cloudy. It's December in Memphis, which means that it's cloudy and it's probably going to be raining for the rest of the month. We've seen our fair share of it so far. This month, which is typically it's kind of gloomy. It's kind of the way it is. It's the solstice is coming up. The winter solstice will be, I guess, the 21st, 22nd, somewhere around the time the original pagans celebrated the shortest day of the year, which means that the sun will start moving its way back north again, giving us a little bit longer of daylight hours, which would be pretty solid. A little warmer weather, it's pretty good. It's the whole idea there. And then, of course, you know, Christmas happened as a way to kind of counteract. I'm not going to get into all that. That's sort of the subject of today's episode. I didn't mean to jump the gun there, but we'll get to that shortly. Hey, congratulations to the University of Memphis Tigers yesterday winning the American Athletic Conference championships in their conference. They've been there three straight times, been denied twice, won it yesterday. Congrats. Good job, fellas. Yeah, buddy. It's good, you know, hometown boys do good, and it's always nice to see that. It's good because, you know, got everybody, you know, excited here in the city. There was a lot of fun talk in social media as the game was being played, and everybody seemed to be having a fine time enjoying it. It was a nail biter of a game too, in a way. I felt pretty confident that the Tigers were going to win it, and lo and behold, they pulled it off. So there you go. Congrats on that. I guess the Cotton Bowl is next. I don't know. We'll see about all that. How that shakes up. Don't want to date it too much. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of going to be kind of evergreen. You know what I mean? Amidst all of that and the downhill slide into the holiday season as we're in the throes of it. You know, you got Christmas coming up, and then you got New Year's, and then all of this left after that is a Super Bowl, and then from there it's nothing, because Easter, you know, such a long way away. You got that, you know, that whole hunkering down for the winter time. You know, the wintry nap. It's the time to just lay low, cut everybody off, and do our thing. It's one way to look at it, I guess. Seasonal affective disorder is a thing. And people get pretty bummed out, and it could be for a number of reasons. Some people just don't, you know, particularly care for this time of year because it's dark early, it's cold, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on. People seem sort of depressed. The holidays tend to drag a lot of that out into people that are sort of affected by it. I'm sort of am as well, not because of anything, you know, depressing that has ever happened to me during the holidays. I think a lot of it is, you know, you tend to outgrow it, you know, I guess is one way to look at it. Or, you know, if you were in a position that I have been in for years, you work on those days and or around them. Nowadays, not so much. Being self-employed allows that luxury. But still, I don't know. It's just that day is just kind of weird. It's bizarre. There's, I don't know. It seems like Christmas is everything is all that's in front of December 25th. Once the day comes, it's like, okay, it's done. Unless you're like nine, you know, then you got stuff. You got toys. You got shit to play with. You got, you know, the usual things. And then if you've got family in town, God love you, because you've already had to deal with all that at Thanksgiving. Because that's how that works. If people go somewhere for Thanksgiving, then that means that by Christmas, everybody's coming to your house a month later. Oh, yeah. But that's just it. Thanksgiving was it. I love Thanksgiving. I enjoy Thanksgiving. It's nice. It's fun. It's a very jovial environment usually. And people seem to be, you know, relaxed and enjoying their fun time and their families and their friends. And there's just, you know, there's not much talk about depressive shit usually. You know, people tend to be kind of pleasant and nice. Everybody knows the big elephant is in the room on Thanksgiving, and that's the Friday after. That's the Black Friday, and that's everybody's just trying to like look out for that because it's coming, but nobody really wants to admit openly that they're going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning headed over to the big box store and you know whatever. So nevertheless, Yeah, the holidays. Yeah, we're in it. We're dealing with it. We're having some fun with it. We'll poke more fun at it as we cruise along. So look out for that. That's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right, so what happens? I got to ask, this is a legit question. What happens? I know the answer. It's a rhetorical question. What happens when you say happy holidays to somebody, a stranger? Happy holidays. They look at you funny, you know? It depends on where you are. They look at you kind of strange. They don't know. A lot of people, a lot of the headstrong folk might go, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. People get a little worked up about that. That's part of the so-called war on Christmas. Every year around this time, we discuss it. And the reason why is because, as you know, anybody who's listened to this program long enough will understand it. I like to point my finger at the absurd, especially when humanity is involved. Because it's dumb. It's absurd. It is silly that people are arguing over... over this. And the more they do it, the more foolish it looks. There's none of this let, you know, live and let live. There's none of that. There's none of this, hey, you do you, I'll do me, and, you know, maybe our circles will come together at some point, and maybe we'll have some common ground. Whatever. Whatever. But no. No, the war on Christmas was a real thing. It's been going on forever. You do realize this. This isn't some strange American construct. It's been going on for as long as there's been, you know, man and or Christmas. And a lot of it is based in, you know, some legitimate religious hatred, is typically where that comes from. Now, here in America, here in the United States, here in the New World, the war on Christmas is a completely different animal, and here's why. The people who are the ones that point the finger at, you know, it's the war on Christmas, they're coming against our values. Those people. You know what this is? You know what they're fighting for? They're fighting under the fact that this country, the United States of America, one of the foundation cornerstones of this country is Christmas. I don't know why they came up with that, but that's what they think. And here's the belief. It's that this is a nation that is under God. One nation under God. And therefore, because of that phrase, one nation under God, therefore, we all have to be Christians, according to these people. Never mind this whole separation of church and state business. We can't have none of that. That would just be ridiculous. So everybody's going to be, saying the Merry Christmas. And here's what's so amusing about it is that these people who say they are Christians are the ones who act the least like it. There was a post on my Facebook feed not too terribly long ago that somebody had, you know, they had a picture of a Christmas tree. And it says, in this country, this is in this country, we say Merry Christmas. Share if you agree. I wrote Happy Holidays and got unfriended. You know, what else was I going to expect? Because this has happened to me before. Last year, somebody had tried that same argument. I wrote Happy Holidays, and they actually wrote back to me, and they said, it's Merry Christmas, goddammit. That was the quote. And I thought, wow, that's just, isn't that special? Because when you have a face-to-face conversation with somebody who dares to bring that up, I will point out to them. And it falls on deaf ears when you have these conversations, because it does. But I still feel like if I'm going to be dragged into this conversation and into this supposed argument, into this quote unquote war on Christmas, which is a horseshit. Second of all, and I'll explain why it's horseshit in a little while. But second of all, not everybody celebrates it. They not everybody's a Christian. This country is founded on principles of it being a melting pot. You know, whatever the poem is at the foot of the Statue of America. The Lady Liberty over there up to her knees in water in Washington. I mean, in New York. Boy, I just effed that up completely. That's all right. We'll fix it in post. give us everybody. We don't care. Christians, Jews, you know, Muslims, Buddhists. Sikhism, name it, bring it. That's what this country is about. It's always what it's been about. And it's always been about, at least for the most part, the respect of those who are different from ourselves. Because why not? Let's learn something new. You know, I have friends who are Christian. I have friends who are not Christian. And to just kind of cover my ass, I just, you know, I'm not going to go to my Jewish friends and say Merry Christmas. Like, they're not going to come up to me and say, Happy Hanukkah, Rick. Happy Holidays covers that, you see. It's a point of being polite without being a dick about the holidays. And that's what it's really supposed to be about. Quit being a dick in the holidays is really what it should be. There should be a Christmas card. Y'all, somebody go with this. Do this. Make a Christmas card that says, hey, Happy Holidays, don't be a dick. And sell that and send the money to some worthy charity that is crossing the boundary, reaching an interfaith group, because interfaith groups are great because it's like they welcome everybody. They want to talk to you about what you believe in. They're not trying to convert nobody. They just want to understand you. That's kind of cool, I think. But no, no, we can't have that because I'll point my finger at the people that specifically bring this up. That is the religious, the evangelical right, you know, the not ultra conservative, but the conservative folk in this country who like to, because they're the only ones that give a shit. They really are. And I'll tell you why. And a lot of it for this year has come down to the fact that there is a guy, his name is Scott Walker, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, recently announced that the state capitol's 2019 holiday tree themed Celebrate Science and asked a bunch of school children to submit science-related ornaments for the tree. Madison, Wisconsin news website Channel 3 1000 reported this, quote, Wisconsin politicians began referring to the tree as a holiday tree back in 1985. Former Republican Governor Scott Walker declared the tree as a Christmas tree in 2011. Drawing the ire of the Madison-based Freedom From Religion Foundation. And, of course, in 2018, the gubernatorial race loser was Scott Divide and Conquer Walker, according to this piece, and it terminated a tradition that had been observed by both Republican and Democratic governors without issue. That was the whole point. They had called it a holiday tree forever, since 1985. And Scott's going, no, fuck you. It's a Christmas tree. That's what we're going to call this. Because only Christians put up Christmas trees. Bullshit. That's what this is. And so Scott Walker took to Twitter and had him a rant fest and a pissing contest over this whole thing. And it's about, oh my God, they want to do away with, the liberals don't want Christmas. They want to take it all away. Everything's a holiday. We've got to be politically correct. Shut up. Just stop it. Because nobody else gives a shit, really. That's just the whole thing. The only people that are fighting the war on Christmas are those people who say that there is a war on Christmas. That's kind of what it, that's the way I see it. You know, I don't give a shit what you celebrate. As long as you don't do anything like, you know, force your shit onto other people. You know, just do what you want. And like I said, happy holidays. Don't be a dick. I think that would make for a fantastic Christmas card. There probably is one. Christmas card. See how that was smooth? A holiday card. Isn't it? Actually, if I had a box of those cards, which gives me an idea for Christmas 2020. come up with some really crafty artwork, a nice little wintry scene in watercolor, you know, something that's got the earth tones in it, something very nice, and in a very nice script, you know, at the very top, happy holidays, and out at the very bottom, don't be a dick, and send those out to, and I would only send them out to my Christian friends. some of them would get the joke, most of them wouldn't. I'd probably send it back with a turd. Who knows? Be that as it may. The fight is only on that side. There's nobody out there. Because you remember the whole Starbucks thing from last year, I think. Even last year, year before, people just got all worked up because, as they do every year, they release Starbucks. They release their cups for the holiday season. And, of course, the religious right gets all worked up because their favorite coffee joint, which, quite frankly, is not that good, was having a secular holiday celebration. They're trying to be inclusive of everybody, whether you are Jewish or whether you're Christian or whether you're whatever you are. They want your business. So they're not going to put Christian symbolism and imagery on these cups, because that just quickly is going to, you know, because seriously, you know, we live in a country where you have the right to think and feel how you want to think and feel. And if you have, I don't know, a sense of business, you're not going to be exclusive. You're not going to sit there and go, oh, we'd love to take your money, but, oh, you don't think the way we think. So, you know, you're just going to have to go somewhere else. Meanwhile, all the Republican people, and I'm pointing my finger at you people too, that they go, oh my God, the world is coming to an end because Starbucks is not putting, you know, images of Christ on their cups. I can tell you this quite certainly, that I'm fairly certain, I'm pretty well convinced that Jesus don't give a shit about Starbucks coffee and what they put on their cups. I don't think he really cares about that. You know what he cares about? Is whether or not you're being a dick to somebody. That's what he cares about. You know, it was Gandhi who said, oh, I love Christianity. I love what Jesus stood for, but I just don't like his followers. And that was, you know, I paraphrase, but that's really kind of what he said. Meanwhile, the war on Christmas wages on, or was fighting on, and it actually got a little bit of a jump early this year, as a matter of fact, when the President of the United States claimed, as he usually does, that there is a war on Thanksgiving. He claimed, I'm not making this up, he claimed, falsely, of course, that liberals were wanting to change the name of Thanksgiving. And when I first heard this, I thought, and so I'm scratching my head and my ass at the same time, and I'm thinking, the hell? Who dreams up this stuff, and for what? You know, well, if you dig a little bit, there's those questions are answered. Those questions are answered by people that are afraid of everybody else. They're afraid of brown people. They're afraid of different cultures. They're afraid of different religions because they're not like them. You know, they want everything to be, you know, the same. And they immediately equate liberalism with people of color. They will, people of different religions, or they actually, they think liberals are just godless animals, which, you know, sure, there's godless animals on both sides if you wanted to take the presidential point of view on this sort of thing. However, in one such story on Vox, VOX.com, about the war on Thanksgiving, there's a lot of mentions about how the White House and the president himself had said at various rallies, no less. And, you know, it came out of his mouth, not that it means anything, but at rallies, he's, you know, trying to, of course, rally up his base by saying that the liberals want to take Thanksgiving away from you. They want to change the name of it. But he never tells you what they want to name it, because he hasn't come up with a better word. Absolutely. What is it he said? I've got this story here in front of me. At a rally in Florida, the president confoundingly reassured supporters that he wouldn't let the radical left change Thanksgiving's name. Quote, as we gather for Thanksgiving, you know, some people want to change the name Thanksgiving. They don't want to use the term Thanksgiving, unquote. He later continued, quote, people have different ideas why it shouldn't be called Thanksgiving, but everybody in this room I know loves the name Thanksgiving and we're not changing, unquote. Well, this is the first I've heard of that. I mean, yeah, Thanksgiving's already happened. But it wasn't a topic of conversation where I was. It certainly wasn't. It wasn't a whole thing about, well, you know, I think we're going to, hey, Rick, you know, we're starting this movement and we want your help. We want to get rid of the name Thanksgiving.
Well, what are you going to call it?
I think we're going to call it Turkey Day.
Well, you can't call it Turkey Day because then the vegans will get all upset. What are you going to call it? Seriously, if you were to change the name of Thanksgiving, what would you call it? And everybody go, I don't know. Thanksgiving's fine with me. It seems to me that the only person that has a problem with this is that dumbass in the White House. He's the one, and he's just doing it just to poke buttons, you know, push buttons and poke people with sticks. After all, I'm talking about it, but I'm looking at it slightly differently, of course, because I think it's amusing. I think it's hilarious because there is no war on Christmas. It's a fictional thing. We fought this fight a long time ago. We really did. And why is this? You know, it's damn near 2020. Because some people just can't, they're not happy until there's a fight. They're not happy until there's an argument. They're like my ex-wife. They're never happy until everybody's miserable. That's what this is. You know, there's a whole Wikipedia thing. Search Christmas controversies if you want to read up on this. Because this goes back a long, long time. 17th century, the Puritans had laws forbidding the celebration of Christmas. The Puritans. How religious can you be? Or more religious could you be than a Puritan? Well, I'm sorry, we just can't have you celebrating Christmas. We'll just tie rocks to your ankles and throw you into the Yon River. Unlike the Catholic Church of the Anglican Church, the latter form of which they separated with the atheistic cult of reason and power during the revolutionary France, Christian Christmas religious services were banned and the Three Kings Cake was forcibly renamed the Equality Cake. Under anti-clerical governmental policies. Later in the 20th century, Christmas celebrations were prohibited under the doctrine of state atheism in the Soviet Union. Nazi Germany, well, of course, they wouldn't like Christmas anyway because it's, you know. Anyway, they figured organized religion as a whole was attacked as an enemy of the state and Christmas celebrations corrupted so as to serve the party's racist ideology. You have to take the Nazis with, you know, what... There's no grain of salt with that business. You just have to cut that crap off. And I'm telling you that, just, you know, I've been around them. You just cut it off. But they're of course, included into this because it's a part of it. But when you look at through the controversies of Christmas over the years, over the centuries, and what's causing the stink, it's always the fundamental people. It's the ultra-religious people that have a problem saying that you are screwing with my holiday. You are screwing with my beliefs. When in reality, no one is. No one really gives a shit. I'm one of these people that I'm okay with Christmas because it's a thing. I get it. You know, when I was a kid, it was even more special. You know, I would be trundled off to church as well when I was a youngster because, well, it was what you did. It was Christmas. You had to go to the Christmas services. You had to go do all of that stuff. It's all well and good. There's a Christmas tree in my house right now. Do I go crazy about it? No. Do I give a shit? No. Is it another day of the week? Yes, it is. It's another day of the week, and nobody cares around here. Oh, my wife does. I mean, she enjoys the holiday because it's about tradition. It's about things that she grew up with as a little girl in Ireland. And for me, you know, I don't know. It's not one of my favorite times of the year. You know, and with the immigrant, her problem is that right after Christmas is over, she kind of falls into this kind of this wintry depression herself. Not to really, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just what happens because she's like, oh, I hate New Year's because it just means it's got to start this shit all over again. Well, what's your alternative, really? But it's a calendar. It's a turning of the page to start something new. Same thing with the end of the week, the end of the month, or the end of the year, or the end of a day. It's all the same thing, really. And for people that really get worked up about this sort of thing and create these controversies, and that's what they are, they're manufactured. They are manufactured controversies about the holiday. That's all it is. And when people get worked up about it, then stories like this happen. Brooklyn Benzel, a 13-year-old eighth grader, was told she could not perform an instrumental version of, quote, Joy to the World because the song is too religious. The education specialist said the song might be deemed inappropriate because it might be too religious, according to the kid's mother.
Of course, this was said during an interview on the Todd Starnes radio show, so there's that to think about. Mrs. Benzel, who is running for Congress, initially dismissed the teacher's concerns, but the following day she received an email that confirmed the song had been banned. They told me the song was too religious to be submitted. She said they told me words like Savior in heaven might be crossing the line. And it says here, according to the townhall.com, yes, good readers, it seems as though the school feared words like Lord and Savior in heaven might trigger the godless. Oh, really? It's not what this is. None of this is what you think it is. It's not. It's all. This isn't how any of this works. As to quote the Facebook television ad, I'm going to unfriend you. It's not how this works. How is it that people who follow a religion that is based in one simple tenet, which is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and to love one another? That's it. That's all there is to it. How is it that these people who really hold those values to themselves are the first ones to point their fat finger at the rest of us and saying how screwed up we are, how screwed up we've made their world, instead of being embracing and saying, hey, you know, what are you doing the holidays? You doing anything quiet? You know, if you're not, come by the house. We're having and this is totally acceptable. We're having a Christmas party at the house. Would you like to come by? We'll have some wine. We'll have a bite to eat, maybe some leftover ham. Come by, have some fun with us. Oh, you don't celebrate Christmas? That's okay, but we're having some wine and some ham anyway. It ain't going to eat itself. Why don't we have more of that? Because we can't. We can't be that way, because humanity is based in one simple idea. No matter what you throw at it, no matter what you throw at humanity, here's some rules that have come down from on high, from heaven, from God himself, who's basically said, look, y'all ain't following no rules here, you see? So let's just make it real simple. You know, treat other people the way you would like to be treated and love one another and everything will be okay. Can we handle that? No, we can't. So I'm saying, happy holiday. Don't be a dick. Still not going to work. It really isn't. Because most of us, I do believe that most of us in the United States, in Europe, Asia, wherever you are in this world, I think most of us are fairly decent people. I mean, I know you can't have a perfect record because there's assholes in every bunch. That's a fact. And there's no other way around it. And such as it is. But by God, most people tend to do right by others. That's important. That's the good thing. So don't sit here and mistake me for sitting here and going, well, you're just, you know, beating the hell out of this just to beat the hell out of it. No, I'm using this as a point that perhaps, maybe, just maybe, that the real true holiday miracle might be that we might pull our heads out of our ass in a collective sense. And realize that it has nothing to do with which God you pray to, what altar you kneel at, if any at all, but how you treat other people. That would be kind of cool, right? That's a pretty good value system, if you ask me, which is far more important than what kind of imagery we put on a paper cup. Or what the hot new item that we've got to go to the store to waste our money on because we have to buy gifts for people because it's the Christmas way. It's the American Christmas way, by God. We have to do this. Why not? If you feel inclined to spend some money in the holidays, and if you call yourself a Christian and you want to say Merry Christmas to somebody, you can say it all you want to, but be bearing the gifts of real humanity. That would be the way to do it. Go outside, no matter where it is that you live. In whatever city you're in, there's probably... If you live in a sizable town, a sizable city, you probably know of a couple of people that, or you've seen them, that don't have a place to go. whatever it is that you feel about them. They're scam artists or they're beggars or, you know, whatever they are. There's always somebody that's going to be kind of homeless, right? They're on hard times. Maybe they have a part-time job, but they're still living in a van down by the river. You don't know. But you know what you could do? Is you go to like your big box stores, and while you're doing all your Christmas shopping, right? When you're out there buying the new Xbox for your kid, or, you know, whatever that expensive toy is that you've got to get the kids, whatever the case may be, stop by the men's department and pick up a package of socks, plain old white cotton athletic socks, you know, knee-high type of socks. Grab a package of, you know, they're not that expensive, but it's just a lot cheaper than a, you know, PlayStation. Grab that package of socks, pay for it, of course, and then go find that guy. Go find that guy that is on the side of the road with nobody. He may have some sort of religion in his heart. You don't know. It's none of your business. May not. He might. But the whole point is, give him those socks, because that's the most worthy gift you can give a guy who's living out on the streets. He's a pair of socks. He probably hadn't had a pair of socks in a long time. I saw this incident unfold this past fall. Walking the dog by a church where there was a man hanging around the door of the church, clearly homeless. Also, I think he was ill. He was, as most homeless people are, they have some sort of condition, mental or otherwise, and he was, I guess. Something had led him to go to this church, because I guess maybe he was somehow seeking some type of help. I'm going to put yourself in his position. If you have nothing, if you have nobody, if you have no place to go, and here we are in the holiday season, if you will, which is really the worst time to be in that predicament. And he's hanging around outside this church, and so I'm walking the dog, and as I come by there, a member of this church was sitting with him, and I thought it was a kind of nice moment, you know, really. Because there's a guy that's clearly in this church, and he's hanging out with a guy, and of course, I'm with the dog. The dog is kind of amused by all this. He's, you know, he's taking a leak somewhere, and I'm kind of watching. Listening. We're walking kind of slowly because I'm eavesdropping. I'm being nosy. I wanted to see how this played out, and I'm glad I did. So the guy from the church is sitting there with this clearly distraught homeless man, and they begin to pray together. And this poor guy, this homeless guy, he hadn't had a bath in a long time. And you know what happened? The guy from the church got up and sent this guy on his way. Didn't give him dick. He gave him nothing. No money. He didn't invite him into the church. I know this building. I've been in it. It's got showers in it. He could have gone in there and been given a shower. Nice hot shower. Probably gone down in their donation department and pulled this guy out a nice fresh pair of socks, maybe some drawers or something, maybe a t-shirt, maybe some clothes, a coat, something. Maybe get the guy to a place that would honestly help the guy. But no, this guy went out there to quote-unquote pray with this man, give him, I guess, some solace that he came to a church for whatever reason, to find, give him that help that he was looking for in a roundabout way, and then send him on. We don't want you here. That was the message I got. I've seen this happen in a church that I was in the middle of a homily, a Catholic church, no less. A man comes in. It was a downtown Catholic church. And a man comes in off the street, and he's looking for something. I don't know if he's looking for salvation. He's probably looking for a glass of water. He's looking for somewhere to get out of the weather. And the priest stopped his homily, walked to the back of the church, and sent the man back out onto the street. Wow. There you go. That's the hypocrisy.
And then people want to know why they get out. Well, I get out of bent out of shape when somebody says, oh, you got to say Merry Christmas or it's not Christmas at all. You're just a heathen. You can't say Happy Holidays because we don't include other people. Right. So I'll leave it with this before we get into a little break and coming up the unpopular thought of the day, if this wasn't unpopular enough. But the idea here is simply this. Happy Holidays. Don't be a dick.
Memphis number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So yeah, as 2019 begins to finally make its final curtain call and bow out of our lives for whatever it has been good for us or not, I don't necessarily want to do any retrospective of it per se, other than just in the points of view of the way we think about certain things, because it's been a tricky year. It hasn't been a bad year per se, at least not for me. It's... Some people always like to sit there and they go, well, you know, I'm so glad the New Year's comes because this past year sucked out loud. Really? You're still alive. There's so many things to be worried about. Let me tell you something, folks, that when you live your lives and you take it one day at a time, right? You know, you take it, you know, being mindful, you realize things aren't all that bad. You just like to say things have been bad because that way you look cool in front of all your friends. So calm down.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what's coming up next time here on the program. I know we've been talking about the war on Christmas, and I was sitting here in the break, and I went through... Facebook. What do you call it? It's like the largest thing that permeates everybody's lives. And there's a post from somebody who has a picture of a sign, you know, one of the removable letter signs. It says, Merry Christmas. If offended, call this number. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, you know, I should write Happy Holidays. If you're offended, GFY. You know, it's a two-way street, bitches. I know the guy that put that up there. He thinks he's being clever. When in reality, nobody really cares. And that's just it. That's the bottom line on the war on Christmas. Most people don't give a shit. The people who claim that there's a war, remember this, the people who claim that there is a war on Christmas are the people that are starting it. That's the whole point. Because everybody else just doesn't do that. Like I said, just, you know, y'all be cool. Just, you know, be nice. If it's possible to be nice to a human being, that is far better than not. You know, I've never understood why people got all worked up. Straight people got all worked up about gay people getting married. That always seemed sort of weird to me. Because what's wrong with two people that care about each other? It's none of your business. What are you, unless you're gay, who cares, right? I've never understood some of these points of view. Just live and let live, man. Just you don't have to agree with it, but you don't have to be an asshole about it either. Kind of tricky, I know. It's kind of a tricky little world. It's a weird line to walk down when, you know, oh God, I hate this. I don't know if I can handle it. Like, I hate this. Hate's such a strong word. Oh my goodness. All right, listen, kids, tonight at 6 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com, we're starting the Booze and Blues show a couple of hours early. And I'll tell you why, if you haven't heard. Our good friend Zeke Johnson, who passed away some time ago, he was a friend of the radio station. He was down there quite a bit, and everybody who knew him loved him immediately. The second you met him, you couldn't help but love the guy. He was a history teacher. He was in the military. He had a great storied career. Played a lot of music with a lot of people, was just an overall good human being. And as happens when one gets, you know, advanced in age, you get sick, you pass away. And
he was so well loved and respected by so many members of the Memphis music community that a couple of weeks ago at First Congregational Church in Cooper Young, they had a memorial for him, as you would do, right? And Mark Caldwell, the producer of the Booze and Blues show, he and I were having a chat about it, and we knew that Zeke had a lot of friends outside of the Memphis area. Yeah, I'm going along, whatever. And I think there's a time limit of this. And so at any rate, we decided, wouldn't it be kind of a cool idea if we did something on the air so that his friends and his family and the people that could not be in Memphis for this would be able to tune in and take part in a celebration of life. Not a morose memorial type thing, but, you know, we're going to tell Zeke stories and we're going to play Zeke music and we're going to have a good time with this. So we put something together. And as a matter of fact, I got a message from Mr. Caldwell before I sat down to record this. And he sent me an email. I was in the wrong thing. Here it is. He sent me an email of the so far working schedule for this show tonight for the Zeke Johnson tribute special, or as I've been referring to it around the house as Zekeapalooza. For tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, guests, some may have a Zeke story to share on air. He said, we've got Patrick Hopper, David McNinch from a couple of local bands here in town. Miss Zeno will be in. Ramona McKnight will tell a story about Zeke. Ashley Powell and Ashley to Eagle Johnson is bringing in some a piece of music that has never aired before, written about Zeke. Musicians, the Jug Band Rascals, including Jimmy Crosthwaite, Gary Kabakoff, Diana Stein Kabakoff, Moses Crouch, Mike Grabber, Paulette Reagan, Don McGregor may sit in at the Jug Band. Don McGregor is going to hang around a little bit later on for that. Donna Bowers and Maria Spence, along with Ashley Henry. Eagle Johnson is going to call in the show. Tony Maynard and the Big Old Band. Brad Webb, Bruce Barham, and Daryl Brooks will be closing the show out, it looks like. This is going to be a fun night, starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. Wherever it is, going to 11, maybe 12. We're just not going to really put much of a clock on it. And on top of that, we've got a couple of special things we're going to do. And it kind of relates a little bit to what I said, because I know Zeke would have approved with everything that happened in this episode. Zeke's favorite holiday was Christmas. He loved it. He absolutely adored Christmas. And he put out an album called Zeke's Christmas. We're going to probably play some cuts off of that, if not the entire thing. And then at the very end of the night, we'll close the whole show with a recording I found fairly recently of Zeke's final public performance, which happened in August of 2019. Right after this, he took sick and was eventually taken to the hospital. But he never performed again live, as far as I understand. But I've got it. And it was him celebrating the birthday of Mose Vincent for the month of August. And he was down in our studios. We put it together, had a fine show with it, and I will air it tonight, late tonight, at the end of the show, and then we'll release it into our on demand a little bit later on. So it's a very special evening celebrating the life of one Zeke Johnson with just about every musician that ever knew him, and it's going to be a fine time. It's going to be a house full down there, and you're invited to tune in 6 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. And join in on the fun. The chat room will be up and running, and you can see what's going on with the camera and the live stream feed and all that fun stuff. So there, we wanted to let you hip about that sort of thing. So there you go. You heard what's coming up next time on the program. You heard what's coming up later on tonight. Y'all be sweet. Y'all be cool. Hey, don't be a dick. I like that. It's a pretty good idea. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.